All right, it's that time of the week. The day games here on Sunday are over. We've got Sunday Night Football, the Lions and the Rams coming up, but there's enough time to put in the prediction for Monday night, our first prediction of this 2024 49ers season for the Niners and the Jets. But first, we've got something related, something really cool to cover, to talk about. Yesterday was the San Francisco Fire Department chili cook-off on Marina Green. And I was lucky enough to be selected to be a judge of the San Francisco Fire Department's chili cook-off. So, well, one of the coolest San Francisco events that there is, the 17th annual Johnny V chili cook-off, very 49ers themed, I'll have to say.
With our own secret rub over here, we have about six different chilies that we have blended in here. We have some A5 Wagyu to top it off with.
We're station 11 on 46th and Church.
Now, they literally did have Wagyu beef cooking there for some of the chili. This was one of the coolest events ever. You could even see the different fronts that the fire stations had. This was the El Camino chili. So it reminded me of being in fourth grade in a California school building a mission. They stuffed avocado in there. It was awesome. It was a culinary event, being able to be a judge for this thing, moving from booth to booth. This one, Ocean's 15, Fire Station 15. This is Station 49, the paramedics unit at San Francisco Fire Department. As you can tell, the Christian McCaffrey jersey there and the entire 49ers theme, Station 40 or E40. They had a waffle bowl for their chili. San Francisco Police Department, also SFPD, got in on it. This is Station 16. That's the one that has the Joe Montana jersey in it in the marina near where Joe Montana lives. These guys even went back into the Frito bag with their chili. Then 39, we were really impressed with Station 39's chili and also with their booth. The winner of Best Booth, though, went to the Brock Purdy station. You'll see here in just a little bit. There's a look at Mario Flaherty in the white shirt, tall guy in the white shirt. There it is, Station 13, winner of the Best Booth, Hog Tua chili. As you can see, they even had the pig noses there. They used some Boudin's sourdough bread bowls for theirs. As you can tell, this was a culinary masterpiece type of event. By the end of this, I was really, really full. It was tough to be a judge of this event. Line out the door for the 17th annual chili cook-off. Proceeds benefited the San Francisco Firefighters toy program. Another look at Hog Tua Chili.
Who had the best chili? 51? 51. I think 51-1.
My stomach.
All right, we're going to go announce this right now.
All right, finally we have the best chili. You've already heard from them. They were the worst booth. 51.
They were the best chili.
And that was that. A beautiful day on the Marina Green in San Francisco. See, look at that old Doggy Diner shout out. That was one of the booths. Just really, really cool event representing the neighborhoods of San Francisco, the San Francisco Fire Department chili cook-off. So shout out to them. It was really cool to see how 49ers oriented this whole thing was yesterday, and wanted to definitely give thanks to the firefighters, to the first responders. They, during COVID, I get they didn't have that event for a couple years. It came back last year, and then this year it was extremely, extremely well attended out on the Marina Green. 49ers Jets prediction time. A lot of people were talking about that yesterday, about the 49ers game against the Jets. I've obviously been talking about it all week. I think that this is a compelling matchup. I could see why the NFL picked it for Monday Night Football to cap out, to cap week one. You've got Aaron Rodgers on one side for the New York Jets. I think we still remember him in a Packers uniform mainly. We saw him running out with the flag last year for the Jets, but he got hurt shortly thereafter, tore his Achilles. The Jets were terrible for the entirety of that season because the offense was the very worst in the league. In fact, number 32 in EPA per play offensively, the Jets were last year. But defensively, they were number three. They were not a bad team on that side of the ball in 2023. So I think that common sense says that the Jets, if Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy and they They have improved the offensive line a little bit. They've added Tyron Smith on the left side. They've added Morgan Moses at right tackle. So if they can put those two things of improvement together, the offense should be able to generate some decent efficiency for the New York Jets. It's almost comical when you look at the team profile for the Jets last season, because what you see is a football team that had a very good defense and an extremely poor offense. This is the XY chart on Ben Baldwin's website. So further to the left means your offense is worse, and they were the worst by a lot, even worse than Mac Jones and the New England Patriots last year. Worse than the Giants, who looked horrific today against the Minnesota Vikings with Daniel Jones. Worse than the Panthers, who probably looked worse than anybody today in the Sunday slate of games. Well, the Jets back here with Zach Wilson and whoever the hell else was playing quarterback were really, really bad. But the defense brought them up on the y-axis. So the big question is, how far to the right can Aaron Rodgers move this team on this graph? If they could be just a little bit above average offensively and maintain the same defense, which I think they can, given the talent that's returned for this team, well, all of a sudden, you've got a contender for the Jets. Just slide the logo over a few tiers to the right, and you're over here. Now, the 49ers, they have improvement that they can make as well. And that comes especially on the defensive side of the ball. They ranked about 10th last year. So the offense was awesome for the 49ers. That's going to be squared off against a really good Jets defense. Can the 49ers move this up defensively to become an untouchable team this year? Go from elite tier one to untouchable. That is the challenge for the 49ers. But that should all be really baked into our prediction. We can talk about the different compelling matchups in this football game. We can talk about the fact that there's familiarity between both sides in this game. The Jets are a team that has the 49ers' former coaching staff, at least on the defensive side of the ball. Jeff Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator, used to play for the 49ers. He's the coordinator under Robert Saleh, who architected this current 49ers defense. Now, Ulbrich was never on Shanahan's staff, but Shanahan tried to make him part of his staff. He tried to pry Ulbrich away from the Jets. He was still under contract, and Robert Saleh said, no, you cannot interview for a lateral position. You'd have to interview for a promotion. And the 49ers were just trying to pry Ulbrich away from the Jets to replace Steve Wilks, who they fired after last season. Ulbrich stayed in New York, and the 49ers instead elevated Nick Sorensen, who was already on the staff, and they brought in Brandon Staley, who was replaced by Jim Harbaugh, by the way. Harbaugh back in the league. He got a win. We'll cover the entire NFL a little bit later tonight if you want to watch that. But bottom line is that the 49ers defense is looking to get better, looking to reapproach what they did under Robert Saleh and DeMeco Ryans, while that Jets defense is running, I think something similar to what the 49ers are running. Things have evolved, obviously, for the Jets and for the 49ers ever since Robert Saleh and the staff went to New York, but some things always stay the same, and I think the Jets play with the same hair-on-fire effort that has marked some of the best 49ers defenses over the past several years, which only adds to the potential intrigue of this matchup. One of the scrappiest 49ers players that we've seen over the years of this Shanahan-Lynch era, DJ Reed, is one of the starting cornerbacks for the Jets. Brock Purdy talked about DJ Reed. He obviously didn't overlap with DJ during his time with the 49ers, but Brock Purdy watches tape, and he knows what a good cornerback is. It's Sauce Gardner on one side and DJ Reed on the other. When DJ Reed was with the 49ers, I think he was drafted in 2018, Brock Purdy was at Iowa State. This is the article that came out this morning on The Athletic. Brock Purdy's college reunion, why the 49ers opener against the Jets has an Iowa State flavor. Purdy, Breece Hall on the Jets, Will McDonald IV, who's on the Jets, and Alan Lazard on the Jets. We've never seen this many Iowa State players in one game. So that's yet another subplot of, you know, I just think that the NFL created a really, really juicy week one schedule. They They do it better than the other leagues as far as drawing the fans in. But we saw so many good games today. I could go through some of them. We're going to get into this in a little bit more detail later. But just building up to the prediction here for the 49ers. Today, I mean, the Cowboys just finished off the Browns. That was the Tom Brady broadcast debut. You guys can leave what you thought about Brady, the broadcaster, in the comments section. But we saw, and this is really going in reverse order, the afternoon games listed here first. Tampa Bay, Baker Mayfield beating Jaden Daniels and Adam Peters, Washington Commanders by 17. Harbaugh back in the league, beating the Raiders 22-10. I don't think that the Seahawks looked good at all in beating the Broncos 26-20. The Seahawks were favored by, it says, 6.5, and they won by 6, but they took two safeties in the first half, so they were endangering the NFL record. It was back in 1984, three safeties in one game. They turned it on a little bit in the second half, but we didn't expect much from Bo Nix and the Broncos, and they were able to keep that game close. One NFC West team that looked better than expected was the Cardinals. They lost to the Bills 34-28, but that game wasn't determined until the very end. The Cardinals were fighting. In fact, they jumped out to a 17-3 lead in Buffalo. So Arizona might be a little improved. I hate to read too much into week one. Steelers beat the Falcons with Justin Fields. Kirk Cousins looked horrific today. That wasn't good. I could give you Kirk Cousins' final stat line. 10 points at home, 155 yards, 2 picks, 2 sacks, a 59 rating for Kirk Cousins. Then there was the Bears-Titans, and Caleb Williams looked really bad. And we'll give him a pass because he's a rookie, but at least we verified that all the people that thought that he was a surefire, slam dunk, great quarterback, those people were wrong. But Williams threw for 93 yards at 3.2 yards per attempt. I mean, both of those are ghastly, horrific numbers. A 55.7 rating, yet somehow, some way, and that's because Will Levis was worse, Caleb Williams and the Bears found a way to win. They also had they benefited from a muffed punt or a blocked punt. I mean, special teams got in on it, and then Will Levis threw a terrible pick six. His rating was 52.5. So the Bears beat the Titans. How about the Patriots beating the Bengals today? New England 16-10 over Cincinnati. You know what I said, Brock Purdy got so much heat for leading the 49ers only 17 points during their three-game losing streak last year. And there were so many factors out of his control that were obvious to any intelligent viewer, yet Purdy still got undeserved heat during that stretch. I hope that Joe Burrow, I mean, if we're putting guys to the same standard, I hope that there's some heat on Joe Burrow for leading the Bengals to only 10 points against the Patriots team that's not supposed to be any good. We'll find out how good they actually are, but you know, that's definitely a performance worthy of some criticism from the Bengals. I really love the CJ Stroud versus Anthony Richardson matchup in Texans Colts. Hopefully we get to see a lot more of that. It would make the NFC or the AFC South a whole lot more compelling. There's the Dolphins and the Jags. That was a comeback win for Miami, 20-17 with the field goal to end. I thought Trevor Lawrence really fell apart down the stretch of that game. Great thing that Christian McCaffrey got out of Carolina. What a waste that would be. They lose 47-10 to the Saints. Sam Darnold, final line for Sam Darnold. The 49ers QBU produces Sam Darnold, 79% completion percentage, 8.7 yards per attempt in a blowout, 28-6 over the Giants, who looked terrible. Then we can go to the previous games. I already talked about those Eagles, Packers. You know, just based on that first one, it was on a slippery field. It was on a bad surface in Brazil, but the Eagles and the Packers, neither of those two teams played great defense. Neither got great quarterback play in week one. And then there was Chiefs Ravens on Thursday. So that was the look up and down the league. Now we have the 49ers and the Jets and prediction time. I've given my rationale. I think the 49ers have a little bit more firepower. I also think that Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams won't be at 100% yet, but I think the 49ers should be able to weather it. I think that even if you have to spell Trent Williams with Jalen Moore, I think you're going to be okay as the 49ers. Now, the fact that Hassan Reddick probably is not going to play helps San Francisco. It opens the door for Will McDonald, one of the Brock Purdy fellow Iowa State alumni that's going to play in this game. You can check out that article. But San Francisco's in a position here where the Jets have a really, really good defense, but the 49ers just have so many weapons offensively that they should be able to put this into the 20s offensively. I think that the number one offense in football, we've shown you the chart, we've shown you the efficiency for San Francisco. That number one offense should be able to get into the 20s against the Jets. And I think that even with Aaron Rodgers, and even with a slightly improved offensive line, or maybe even significantly improved, I do think that the 49ers also will have an improved defense. I think they could keep the Jets under 20. So if the 49ers are over 20 and the Jets are under 20, that leads to our prediction. 49ers, 23, Jets, 16. Think the 49ers are 4.5-point favorites. That would cover. I think, and you know, a lot of people are saying, well, it's easy money. They're going to blow out the Jets. So way too many people think that this is the Jets of 2023. It's not. It's Aaron Rodgers in there. And if he stays healthy, then it completely changes what they do offensively. Garrett Wilson is a great route runner at the receiver position. Breece Hall is an explosive player for the New York Jets at the running back position. Alan Lazard has really good chemistry with Aaron Rodgers. Then the pass protection in that game against the Bills last year, it was also Monday Night Football to open things up. That was where Aaron Rodgers got hurt. The pass protection was horrific. It was terrible. It's the first thing I thought before Aaron Rodgers got hurt. I'm like, how is he going to survive this season behind that offensive line? Spoiler alert, he didn't. Spoiler alert, they got to him. Leonard Floyd got to him. That's the play on which Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles. So we're going to see Leonard Floyd's 49ers debut. We're going to see if the interior of the Jets offensive line can hold up against Javon Hargrave and company, who should be rested. A hamstring should be feeling better for him. Malik Collins, 49ers debut. And we're going to get to see those Jets tackles, the new Jets tackles, Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses, working against obviously good 49ers edge rushers in Nick Bosa and Leonard Floyd. No Yetur Gross-Matos and no D Winters for the 49ers. Obviously no Ricky Pearsall. He's on the NFI list. Expecting him back week 5, which is miraculous. Everything that's happened on the Ricky Pearsall front has been miraculous. It was just over a week ago that he was shot right there near Union Square in San Francisco. And Ricky Pearsall is on the NFI list, but the word is that he's only going to need those 4 weeks. He might not have even needed the 4 weeks. Who knows? It just seems he was wandering out on the practice field the other day. They were talking about 1% or 2% chance of the type of outcome that we've seen with Ricky Pearsall. 49ers are viewing it as a miracle. And I think there's nothing wrong with that based on everything that we've heard. Where that bullet entered Ricky Pearsall's chest, the emergency room personnel told Kyle Shanahan they're typically a 2% survival rate. And Ricky Pearsall was in that 2%. So that's it. That's the prediction. 49ers 23, Jets 16. We can talk for a little bit. We can answer some of your questions here at the end of prediction time. I'll find our 49ers Q&A text title, and we'll go from there. Who's ready for the Lions against the LA Rams? This is a good idea. If you're watching right now on you, if you're on Twitter, you can go to YouTube because there you can comment. Put your prediction into the chat. Type your prediction into the live chat. If you're watching later, type your prediction into the comment section. If you're listening on the podcast, well, you can go watch on the video and type in your prediction. But if you're watching right now and you want to, you know, join the podcast or subscribe to the podcast, do all that, look up the Lombardi Lounge. I'd love to see your guys' predictions. I'm waiting. Not for the Lions game, although that's fair. I mean, it's about to happen. We've got 33-13. Andrew asks, that's for the Niners Jets 33-13. We saw a Lions prediction here. It's moving too quick. I tried to click on it, but it didn't happen. Is Leonard Floyd a three-down player? Does he come off on short yardage? Yeah, I think Leonard Floyd's a three-down player. Maybe not every set of three downs. I think with Yetur Gross-Matos out, it's more likely that he stays out there for longer. I don't think Leonard Floyd is half bad against the run. I think he's a really tough, scrappy player, which is notable considering the fact that he's on the lighter end. I mean, he's built like a really yoked wide receiver. I mean, Leonard Floyd is strong. And he, you know, is able to take some of the lighter weight and use it to contort his body, to squeeze, to, he combines it with his relentless style to get a lot of cleanup sacks. And a lot of people think, oh, cleanup sack, he's not that good. A cleanup sack is a big time skill in the NFL. Nick Bosa is going to win. Javon Hargrave is going to win. Both of those guys are going to win their one-on-ones consistently. Leonard Floyd's going to get to the quarterback. 40 sacks, 39 and a half in four seasons, 10 a year. Really, really impressive stuff from Leonard Floyd so far. All right, we got some of our scores rolling in. If you have more score predictions, go ahead and put them into the comment section. Hector Mejia says 23-20, 49ers are going to win. We've got some people saying that this is going to be a blowout, such as Terrence McIntosh, 38-10, 49ers. That'd be a resounding statement. They'd put the league on notice if they came out and blew out the Jets and Aaron Rodgers. Mike thinks it's going to be closer. Mike is saying 24-21. What was the Jets' run defense last year? Number 9 EPA against the run. 49ers were number 26. It's a big concern, but again, they've replaced their defensive coordinator. They've replaced, you know, four key pieces of their defensive line. It's a new season for the 49ers, and we're going to be watching how they do against the run on the defensive side of the ball really closely after the regression on that side of the ball in 2023. Ron says 21-17, 49ers. So right along what I think. I said 23-16. Mike echoes what I said. Can the 49ers stop the Jets' run defense? Greg, 49ers 29, Jets 16. How do the 49ers DBs line up against the Jets' wide receivers? Depends on how much man and how much zone the 49ers play. And then it depends on where the Jets are lining guys up. Does Garrett Wilson line up in the slot? Does he line up outside? What's the division between those two? I think he's the best route runner. How much does Mike Williams play? He's coming off an injury for the Chargers last year, but he is going to play just at a smaller snap count. So, you know, between Wilson, Mike Williams, you have to look out for Breece Hall coming out of the backfield for the Jets. We'll see. I mean, this is what makes week one so exciting. You enter these games and you don't really know how things are going to be lined up. So you could sit back and you can let the information come to you before we go into heavy analysis mode next week. Because of that, week one is a little bit more unpredictable than the other weeks. You can see crazy stuff because even as we're analyzing, you know, the coaches are too. The coaches need that fresh tape from this year because teams are not going to be putting stuff on tape in the preseason. So it's harder to prepare for a game like this. That being said, the 49ers, because they are returning all their offensive starters in 2024, they feel that they've been able to hit the ground running as far as play installation this year. There hasn't had to have been some kind of great reset that you see every start of training camp, right? When you have a lot of new faces and you have to install new terminology. By the way, I got the Fire Department 13 hat. Was not bribed, I swear, for Fire Department 13. Station 13 won the best booth at the Chili Cook-Off. Congratulations to them. They also got a nice looking hat, don't they? I got this as part of being the judge yesterday. If you missed that part of the show, you can rewind. It's near the start. The Chili Cook-Off was really, really cool. Did Dallas look good or the Browns look really bad? I think both. Anytime you see a 20-plus point win in NFL, both. The Browns were missing both tackles, start offensive tackles, left tackle and right tackle. And against Dallas's edge rush with Micah Parsons and company, that's a really rough ask, especially in front of a quarterback that's, I don't think Deshaun Watson is any good anymore. I mean, he is looking rough. He's looking inaccurate. Doesn't seem that he feels the rush. all too effectively. That's a brutal situation for the Browns. But Watson struggling behind two backup tackles against that Dallas edge rush. The Cowboys are built to feast on a situation like that. Last year they're beating up on all these bad teams. I don't really think that the Browns were a necessarily good football team that they threw out there today with those backups. So I think Dallas, as long as Zeke Elliott is the top running back, I don't think they're a Super Bowl threat. I think they're going to need the youngster, somebody other than Zeke Elliott at 29. I know they have Dalvin Cook at 29 as well, but I think that spells trouble. They're going to need to make sure they have fresh, capable legs at that linebacker position. All right, that's it. Let's go get ready for the 49ers tomorrow, but for the Lions and the Rams in about 10 minutes. Prediction, 49ers 23, Jets 16. Thanks for watching. We'll see you soon.